You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, good morning, church. Great to be together.
Morning, Steve.
I want to commend all of you because the rain didn't keep you from coming to the worship service. And if you're watching online, at least you turned on your YouTube and you're watching, which is awesome. Great to see you. So great to have you. I know there's a lot of funny memes about LA when it comes to rain, right? Like it's pretty much might be a blizzard, but how many of us are from the East Coast here? So the rain is like, it rains every other day. How many of, you know, I know CJ and Sheree always share about the UK and Elijah and Nathaniel, how man, it rains almost every day. So rain is normal, but over here, you know, we are blessed in LA. It's almost never raining, but we need the rain, right? Say bye-bye to fire season. It's gone. Amen for that. Super good thing. So we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and last week, Ben Blaufarb, our worship minister, spoke about some really powerful stuff, and we're going to take a springboard from what he talked about, and we're going to dig into some really intense scriptures today. If you're here visiting for the first time, welcome. We're going to be reading a scripture today. It comes up in the book of Ephesians. That's one of the strongest on some of the biggest sins that Americans struggle with. And you'll see where that comes up in a moment. But you ever notice how much, I don't know how you are, but I think most people like it being really bright out and having a lot of light. Now, you don't want really bright on you specifically because you want to, you know, you want to feel a little bit incognito at times. But I don't know. I like it when it's light out. I like it when there's lights on in the house. I know my kids, when they were growing up, when they were really little, they didn't mind it was completely pitch dark in the room because it would help them sleep. By the time they're like 6 or 7, like you could not keep it pitch dark. They're like, leave the light on or open the door. You know, my son would be like, Dad, keep the light on, you know, as a little guy. And you know, I don't know about you, but I leave lots of lights on in my house. Now, my wife doesn't like the electricity bill, but I just like it when it's bright out. See, when it's dark, you don't know what's in front of you. You know, you can't see the you know, now I have a grandson, so occasionally when he comes and visits, there's toys on the floor. If it's dark, you might step on a Lego or step on something that will hurt you, right? Or if it's dark out in the living room, you might hit that coffee table, get that bruise on your leg, right? You don't see what's happening. You get hurt in the dark. And people like to do unlawful things. Typically, when you do unlawful things and you don't want to be seen, you do it in the dark. And see, Jesus talked about this. So, and I'm sorry, I always forget to dismiss the teens. I forgot again. I get up here. Teens, if you haven't already gone, I know they've already left, but we got the teen class, so amen. Thank you very much for that. So I do that every time. So teens, have a great class. They're already over there. So the title of today's lesson about the light is Children of Light. Children of Light. Amen. And that is what each of us is being called into by the grace of God, to be children of light. And God is working in all our lives so that we would see this. And I love this verse in John chapter 3, where it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time to gather to study your scripture. Father, thank you for this opportunity to become children of light, to live into the life of love that comes as children of light. Open our minds to understand your scriptures, to see your word, to understand it, to let it move us to spiritual heights, to open our eyes. Bless us this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's one big idea I want you to get from today. And that is, because we are dearly loved children, we must live as children of light, not partners with the darkness. All right? We must live as children of light. And we're going to study the book of Ephesians. We're going to start in the last two verses of Ephesians chapter 4, where Ben kind of referenced some of this. But this launches us into the text in chapter 5, where we're going to see some really strong passages on sexual sin. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. You're going to see what the text says about it. But we find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then it flows into chapter 5. Of course, when Paul wrote this, he didn't separate it into chapter 4 and 5. So it all came together. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So this is a powerful text, isn't it? This is one it really helped me in my early days as a Christian, because it developed my conviction on some core issues. And we're going to look at three movements to change our life. And we're going to fixate in here on some of the text that helps us really change, right? Helps us really transform. And part of this text is that we are to really live this life, a new life, right? We're going to take out the trash of bitterness. We're going to clear out the darkness of immorality and impurity. And we're going to step fully into the light of love. Now, I want to finish the text for you that we're going to be looking at. It says, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So here's the three things I want to really focus in on today. We're going to talk a little bit about bitterness and anger that gets in our heart. We're going to hit that main text there in Ephesians 5:3 that talks about immorality and impurity. And then we're going to talk about living this life of love, which is living in the light. We are children of light. Amen. So I want us to hit these three things today. There's a lot more that could be covered, but we're going to dig on in. And I like this text as the chapter 4 ends, where he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander. You guys, what is brawling? You guys know what brawling is? Punching each other, fighting. Looking at the Greek, it actually uses the word like clamor. It's not, I thought of it as fighting, like punching, but it's more like you're kind of agitating, and it's creating, you know, it's like when you're mad about something and you're just like grumbling about it and complaining to your friends. You're like, I guess that's kind of brawling too. I mean, technically not fighting, but it says to get rid of all that, right? Getting rid of it. And getting rid of it really means taking out the trash of bitterness, right? It's the Greek terminology means to really lift it up and throw it away. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of the church. You ever open the refrigerator and you're getting some, you know, getting yourself whatever, a glass of juice, or you're getting yourself a sandwich, but then when you close the refrigerator, there's this little, something smells in there. You ever have that happen? It's like, hey, what is that? Something went bad in there. Like, I mean, I don't have the best sense of smell, but whenever something smells bad, I can tell. I'm always like, honey, there's something bad in that fridge. It's like, well, find it. Or I will. And I'm digging through all the vegetables, and you find that one little piece of, like, I don't know, a celery stick that's rotting or something in there. That probably wouldn't smell, but the wrong thing starts stinking, and the whole thing smells, right? That little thing that's starting to rot. And last week, we heard about not using rotten language, but when things rot, they stink. And you got to get them out. When you get it out of the fridge, start smelling better. In the same way, we've got to get out of our heart and out of the church. Paul says, get rid of anger and bitterness. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. So you've got the trash, which is bitterness, rage, anger, slander, malice, brawling, apparently. And then you've got treasure, which is kindness, compassion, forgiveness. And I think as Christians, we understand the importance of forgiveness. It's talked about. We understand the message of Jesus is forgiveness. And I talk to most Christians and they're like, oh, I forgive people. Oh yeah, I've totally forgiven them. But if you notice in the text that we read, it said kindness and compassion and forgiveness. So a good test of real forgiveness, is there kindness and compassion connected to it? Because I know when I get hurt or you've wronged me, in my heart, I'm like, okay, Jesus forgave me, I will forgive. But it doesn't always follow that there's kindness and compassion. And we're going to talk about this. It's different than entrusting yourself to that person again. But kindness and compassion needs to play a role. And I think about, in history, there's so many great examples. One of them, I know he died in 2013, but that's Nelson Mandela, who was imprisoned for 27 years in South Africa for fighting against racial injustice, right? Against apartheid. And he was imprisoned. And if he had a right, anyone had a right to be bitter, it was him. He was standing up for what was right and yet was tortured and imprisoned. He could have held a grudge, but I loved the quote where he says, as I walked out of the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. See, he realized something deeply and also biblically accurate. Bitterness is a prison you carry with you, and it holds you back. He said, we must strive to be moved by a generosity of spirit that will enable us to outgrow the hatred and conflicts of the past. He became president, right? The first black head of state in that country, and made a tremendous difference. And he was known for his generosity and his love and for not letting the pain and the torture and the imprisonment encumber him. And some of us get stuck, unfortunately, because we forget the language of forgiveness and we just don't understand it quite right. See, forgiveness, it's different than what some of us think. It doesn't mean that what was done to you was okay. It doesn't say that the damage doesn't matter or there are no consequences. The damage is real that happens to us. The consequences are real. And the other person may, in fact, not own it, not apologize, and they may not change. But forgiveness, and we have the ability to do that through the message of Jesus, but forgiveness means I refuse to let bitterness and anger define my future. See, we don't excuse the choices that cause the pain, but we're choosing what happens in our heart. We're making decisions about kindness and compassion to accompany forgiveness. And you don't have to entrust yourself to that person if you feel like they've not grown in that area. But God calls us to have real love and concern and care. And certainly it comes out, the text says, kindness and compassion. You guys with me? Because in Christ, God forgave us, right? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. And I know in here, many of us have been hurt by other members of the church, by relatives, by family members, by sometimes moms and dads. I talked to lots of the college students and they're, you know, we're sinful people in the human race and our actions hurt one another. That's why the message of the cross is so powerful, because it brings this reconciliation. But ask yourself today, who do I need to release from the prison of my bitterness today so I can step into the freedom of the light? And maybe the question is, you might say in your heart, oh, Steve, I'm a Christian, I forgive. Do kindness and compassion characterize your interactions with that person? I'm not saying you've excused mistakes they've made, but you understand that you can let them go of it affecting you, and you can give away kindness and love. You guys with me? This is an important part of taking out the trash in a spiritual life. All right? Let's go on to the next verse in this text. Here it is. We hit it, right? But among you, there must not be even a hint. And these are the big three: sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Wow. Now, I just did a lesson for the campus guys. We talked about hating what is evil and loving what is good. We're doing men's training with the campus men. And as a young man, when I was exposed to the Bible, I did not have a conviction about these things on this verse. I was raised in a non-Christian home. I mean, my dad was a very good man, loved me a lot, supported me, but he wasn't a Christian. He's actually, in fact, a professed atheist. He was a good guy. He lived by basic Judeo-Christian principles, but in the area of sexual sins and those things, we just had no conviction about it. In my days in college and I was in a fraternity, you know, engaging in these things here are almost a badge of honor amongst men when I was growing up. Now, in the church world, it shouldn't be a badge of honor, but in the culture we live in the media, it's like a badge of honor. They're like, you know, when have you lost your virginity? And, you know, sexuality makes you a greater man. These things they permeate our culture deeply, right? And I didn't have a hatred towards that sin. I needed this verse because I needed to go, whoa, he's taking this serious. Not even a hint. That is a powerful message right there, right? Clear out the darkness of immorality, impurity, and greed. And so I want us to look at those three words. I put the Greek definition because, of course, the New Testament written in Koinonia Greek. And this is the language that then our translators read it. And so porneia is the word in Greek that's that sexual immorality. And I put the broken glass there for a reason, because I want you to see that when we cross lines in this area of sexual sin, it takes away our strength. It makes us less, have less integrity. We're not capable of being all we intended to be. We can't function the way we're supposed to. And so porneia has come to understand in the New Testament, it's in there over and over, and it really means sexual immorality. Most translations mean sexual immorality, which means any kind of sexual sin that's immoral. Right? Fornication, sex outside of marriage when you're not married. Adultery is sex when you are married to somebody you're not married to. Any sex outside of marriage. Premarital sex. Same-sex activity. Pornography. Hookups. Everything in between. Right? That's what it means. And then Paul puts this right next to it. He puts impurity right next to it. And like for me growing up, I had to read this over and over because I just didn't have a conviction. I needed massive change when I first was introduced to who Jesus was. But I wanted it because I knew that area of life was causing problems. There was a lot of insecurity, a lot of pain, a lot of hurt relationships. It's not a healthy thing in our culture. And I was like, oh, okay, this says not even a hint. Oh, this is good. And then the next word there, the one for impurity, it really refers to moral uncleanness, moral filth. You know, we know in our generation, it's kind of what's going on in your head or what your eyes are seeing, right? Impurity, a personal impurity, where you're thinking, and definitely related to sexuality. And then the word for greed there, I'm not going to quite pronounce it in the Greek word there, but it means a grasping for desire for something more, covetousness. And it also means, it means in this context, hey, maybe wanting more of somebody else's wife, somebody else's girlfriend or boyfriend. Not only wealth and power grabs, but certainly in the context Paul was talking about, it was a big deal in the church in Ephesus. That's why I wrote it there, right? It's a big deal in Western civilization. I would say human civilization, right? This is a challenge to deal with this stuff in a really awesome way, in the right way. See, we have a sex-saturated culture. It's almost impossible in Southern California to not, you know, just be inundated with things that test us in this area, right? It's everywhere. You know, it's a clash of cultures. Our society wants to just take us down a row. I mean, you know the classic mantra, sex sells. Because it's a strong drive. It's a blessing. God created it. You know, it's his idea. He created the idea. Unfortunately, we got the movies, streaming ads, billboards, social media. Mixing into that, the next verse we had read talked about your vulgar speech. We're going to cover that in a minute. But that just gets to our soul. It beckons at us. But see, God created sexuality as a good thing, right? It's his invention. It's God's idea. In Genesis, it says he made a male and female and told us to be fruitful. And God desires sex as a blessing in marriage, to bond a husband and a wife, and to fill the world with his image bearers. It's good in marriage, but it is not meant to define your identity. Jesus lived a completely fulfilled, fruitful life without sex. Most biblical scholars comprehend that Paul also, many think maybe he at some point was married, but certainly he even writes in his letters to Corinth that he had the gift of purity and of being single, and he was single, right? And so, and to say the Apostle Paul didn't have a fruitful, fulfilling, amazing life, oh, he did, and sex didn't have to be a part of it. Your ultimate identity is not a sexual being, but an image bearer of God. And we can't let our culture define it, right? And so one of the things that made sense to me when I began to, when I saw this verse, I began to think about sexual purity as a younger man in my 20s, thinking, am I going to live a life of sexual purity? How am I going to do that? I began to make sense that if I can hold to principles that are biblical, that I know will work practically, if I can have fidelity and faithfulness, you know, in my dating relationship, when eventually I started dating Carrie and I could be pure with her, if I could be pure and faithful to these principles while I'm dating, then after I get married, she's going to trust me. We're going to trust each other. If we'll be faithful to God's principles, we produce trust in other people for us. Trust is built that way. You know, we have something strong, like high fidelity, right? You know, a lot of you guys have expensive headphones, high fidelity headphones, right? Where the music is loud and crystal clear. All right, how many of you guys have really good AirPods or really good? Okay, a lot of you. We like our music, right? But doesn't it stink when you blow one of the speakers? I have some AirPods I bought like 3 years ago, and I think I just blown one of them. And I listen to it, and it crackles. I'm like, ah. So I ordered some like $17 knockoffs, and they work way better, you know. So I was like, $200, they don't work, $17. So not as good as your $400 ones that a campus student probably have, right? High fidelity. But the point is, see, immorality and impurity and this greed and this darkness, it damages the fidelity, the integrity. It makes it crackle. It damages it. It's not what God intended for us. You guys with me? We've got to fight this. You know, I was talking to the campus men. I was like, you got to hate the evil. It's not easy. So this is not something for you to be down about. We're going to talk about. But it's for us to be aware and to know God wants something different for us. You know, it goes on and talks about getting rid of the vulgar speech, obscenity, the way you talk, the language. See, these things are stepping stones to immorality and impurity. The way we interact, you know, are we obscene in the way we talk? I mean, I used to use foul language nonstop as a, you know, pre-Christian days. Even in the business world, which, by the way, is not professional, right? I was an investment advisor, and I would be using foul language. I didn't know my moral stance of my clients, but I would just use all kinds of foul language. I lost quite a few clients probably because of that and didn't even know why, right? It's just not professional. It's unwise. And the language you use leads to the actions we live into, right? Those kinds of words, they don't belong in the light. He goes on ahead. He had said, but rather thanksgiving. You know, it's the time of Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving season. Let's live into the Thanksgiving season. You guys with me right there? Let's live into it. There's eternal stakes at play here. Very, very important things. Look at these verses. These are powerful verses that Paul, he puts this out there, writing this to the church. These are the people who've already committed to this lifestyle. He says, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Therefore, do not be partners with them. I remember working as a sales rep after I had become a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. And I was a sales rep in this company, and one of the clients wanted to go to a particular restaurant. And for some reason, the waitresses had to wear really provocative outfits. I don't, you know, there's a few like that. There was one or two in LA. And this particular client that was like on my sales client list, you know, it was like my boss said, yeah, you got to take him there. And I was like, I won't go there. It's not, you know, I had changed. I was like, all right, I got to have not even a hint. And I'm like, I can't have the hint. So he's like, why not? I said, well, I follow the Bible. I mean, I'm a Christian. This is what I'm doing. And he's like, okay, I'll take the client away from you. So I don't want you to have to, you know, I don't want you to condemn him, so to speak, by saying, hey, I don't do that. I'll just take the client away. I said, thank you very much for removing that complexity and conflict in my life. We got to have no hint, right? And it's not easy to do, right? So the question you'd ask yourself today is this: where am I tolerating just a hint? Where am I tolerating just a hint of darkness that Jesus is calling me to completely remove? Is it just a hint in your browser history? in your DMs. Just a hint at what you laugh at or post. Just a hint at what you binge watch. Just a hint of impurity with your girlfriend or fiance. We have to take this serious. Paul says, no, don't even have a whiff of it, not even a hint, right? It's like, get the stench out, get the darkness out, because you want, you know what, high fidelity, high integrity, purity. It makes a difference for longevity. All right, I'm not condemning sexuality, and I don't want us to be depressed. I was the worst of sinners, but God can make you different. Each day, he can get you a new chance to walk in the light. You know, I don't know about you, but I want this aroma of Christ to come out. I want the good smells to come out. It's the holiday season, and the good smells are cropping up, right? The cinnamon and the hot cinnamon rolls and the pumpkin pie smell. And, you know, the other night, Carrie made some popcorn. I was like, I think I'm going to make some. I'm a candy guy, so I made some caramel popcorn. Worked out really well. And she's like, oh, I smell it. It smells good, right? Fresh, crisp winter air, evergreens, hot chocolate, the good smells. You guys with me? That's what we want out of our lives. Not the trash, not the dirtiness. Amen, church? We got to step fully into the light of love. And that's what he had said right in this text. Get rid of that stuff. Get rid of it and step into this light of love. Jesus, he was our example. God, he's our example. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We're dearly loved. We walk in the way of love. And our model is Christ, whose love led him to give his life for each of us. We live this way not because we have to, but because God inspires us to be different, right? We live this way because he has loved us. We follow God's example, not because we have to, but because we're motivated to do it, because he said, I'll do it first. I was immersed in all the darkness, you know? But God said, Steve, you're valuable. I'm not going to define you as a bad person. You've done bad things. But I define you as good. Follow me. Come into my light as dearly loved children. That's God's plan for each of us, right? For you were once darkness, but now you're the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, right? We were in sin. We can fall into sin. We can mess up. These scriptures are there. It was written to the church in a big cosmopolitan city with all kinds of temptations and difficulties similar to us. And he's urging them to really change. And he says, you were once darkness, but now you get to be in the light. And that's the gospel. The dead made alive, the darkness to the light, wrath to mercy, shame to loved child. In our sex-saturated culture, how are we going to actually live this out, Steve? How can we do it? God has a plan. His plan was to show you how much you're loved to motivate you to resist all that garbage. And then I know CJ had talked about this a number of times. He's going to be hitting it even this coming week. Being filled with the power of God. And we see this verse right here. This is a verse we've read before in Ephesians. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Can we really overcome this stuff? You can. Through his spirit in your inner being. You can actually overcome all that junk. You know, it's the mercy and graces of God. But I know when Karen and I dated, both prior to being Christians, we didn't know each other. We just lived worldly dark lives. But when we met each other in the church, we lived faithful lives. We had committed to Jesus. We actually dated for a year and were completely pure. It was like, what? It was so encouraging. And of course, on our wedding day, it was so encouraging. And we've been married 31 years. And it creates strength, fidelity, holiness, joy. It allows the physical relationship to last for years and be a blessing from God. You guys with me? God, that's God's intention when you do it his way. It's just the grace of God. See, the gospel is not about being guilted out all the time and shamed. It's a false thinking to think that you are a bad person. You got to understand this. You got to understand the difference between shame and guilt. See, guilt says I did something wrong. Shame says I am something wrong. And that is a false reality. You are loved. God sent his son to die for you. You are worth something. You're capable, even though you don't feel like you could overcome. You can. There's a power beyond your imagination available to you. You can't stay in shame thinking you're bad. Sin is bad. We can overcome it. Perfectly, not until he comes back. You're going to constantly struggle, but the cross says there's a new day ahead of you. There's a new opportunity each day. You got to throw out the garbage. Start fresh. You know, in our house, I am the garbage man. And pretty much that garbage fills up almost every day, right? You know, and then if I don't notice it, which I'm usually the last, I'm almost pushing it down. I don't know what's my, you know, pushing it down to get it last longer if I have to make the trek out back, right? Now in the rain to dump the garbage. Now, if it smells, I'll take it out right away. But sometimes just piling up and Kara's like, have you noticed the garbage? No, it's full. All right, honey, I got it, right? I'm taking out the garbage. We got to take out the garbage of sin over and over. See, the truth of the matter is, you don't just have the light. You are the light. You are the light. Believe in the light. Become children of light. That's God's plan. If you're here today and you're just visiting, God's idea for you is to transform all things. To overcome stuff you thought you could never overcome. Whether it's drug addiction. Today we're hitting this bitterness issue and sexual sin that can take people down and constantly takes us down in our current culture because of how easy it is to access. But you can be different. Let guilt lead you to God where there's hope and forgiveness. Confess, right? Get free grace, right? Understand your love. Talk to people. And so I want to talk about some practicals here, but I want you to believe that in the light, believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. And that's Jesus. He was talking to people and they're like, what are you talking about? Jesus says, hey, believe in me, follow me, know me, live for me. As a congregation, we want lives to change. We created a basic Bible study series. We call it Foundations of Faith. It's designed to help you go from darkness to light. If you go, hey, I already know Jesus, it's designed to align your understanding of living faithful with what Westside does. And we want everyone to go through it so it can be a team helping the darkness be turned to light in our culture. You guys with me? Yeah. And so I want to close out with just this. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Practicals. Call to action for each of us. If bitterness and anger, and I don't know if you have brawling in your life, that brawling, that little agitated, clamorous self in your heart, maybe you need to think of who is that person in your mind? Who's that person that comes up with when those thoughts come to your mind? And to step into the light, you got to name that. You got to call it out. Maybe write it down. Be real with yourself. Choose forgiveness as an act of obedience and begin a process of healing. Maybe you have to have a conversation. Maybe you need to get somebody with you to help you in the conversation. And then test yourself. Is there kindness and compassion? Does that show itself in that area? Or is it just a religious sense? Oh, I forgive. Do you really forgive the way God forgives? You can't control them, but you can control whether you let them affect your freedom. Maybe you have been flirting with a hint. Some of you in here, a hint of all these types of stuff. Pornography is a huge issue in our culture. What you look at, the stuff we watch, it's the holidays, you have more time at home. You gotta be vigilant with what we allow in our system. And if that hint is in your life, you know, maybe it's a secret website. Maybe there's a relationship that you're crossing lines. There's late night scrolling. I know the feeling of late night vegging, just scrolling, but you gotta be careful. You gotta be really careful, have some boundaries. And I wanna urge you, maybe confess to God, but then find a trusted person, a member of the congregation. You can confess. Clean out that junk, right? Get it in front of somebody. Then cut off access, create boundaries. The campus we were talking about, all right, let's put one good thing in the place of one bad thing. Let's be proactive, the best defense is a good offense. Put good stuff in place of the bad stuff. Replace all the negative thinking and replace the language with thanksgiving over the holidays. Live into Thanksgiving. I want to say another thing. We have an incredible, if sexual sin has been a major issue for you, what a privilege to be here on the West Side because CJ created a course called Freeing the Shadow. And it helps you dig out what those hints are. and dig into a little bit of your past and your background and what's leading you to make bad decisions. And he's going to start a new course in January. I want to urge you, if these things have been affecting you, there's ways to get extra training and help. If that course, then there's other options. You can get help. Start with openness, realness, and the Word of God and prayer, and you can be transformed. And the last thing is, I just want to say for those of you that are here, maybe this is new stuff. Hey, God wants you to go from darkness to light into a new way of living. He wants everyone to be transformed through the message of the cross. All of us need to embrace our identity as children of light, which comes because Jesus loved us and gave himself up for us. Let's reflect on these things as we take communion. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of being here right now, studying your word and letting it move our souls. Father, we want to take out the garbage, things in our life that make us not high fidelity, high integrity. God, make us pure and holy through your love, through your mercies. We know that is why Jesus gave his body and shed his blood. Father, we embrace that. We thank you for that. We know we don't deserve it, but we take the bread to remind us that his body was given. We take the fruit of the vine to remind us that his blood was shed to give us a second chance, not just one time, but every day. Father, we love you and thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.